Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Delighted to welcome my next guest into the studio as we talk about a fabulous new music project that is already underway. And it's actually aimed at providing, highlighting that really the message about mental illness at the moment, and also putting it out there, particularly on Merseyside, making the conversation wider, more accessible. So first, let me welcome music guru. Is that fair enough, Phil Hayes?
I'll do that.
Artist, music guru, artist. What else do you want to be known as, Phil?
Just a guy who's trying to make a difference.
Right, well, you're doing all right. And also let me welcome music legend, Andy McCluskey.
I don't know about the legend, but thank you.
Oh,
good morning.
On,
good to see you.
Is he a legend?
Yeah, Electricity. What a great song that was. And yeah. What was the one on Seven Seas?
Oh, God, that's the... Sailing on the Seven Seas.
Sailing on the Seven Seas. I love the drum beating.
Do I get PRS if it just mentions the titles of the song?
Yeah,
no. Seven Seas, Electricity.
I'm surprised you remember any songs, because I said to you, how many albums have you done? You said, I think you're on 14.
I remember the specifics. Don't. It's too early on a Monday to be calculating the number of albums I've done. It's plenty.
Right, so a brand new one coming out this year as well?
Later on this year, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's what the band as a collective is working towards. But me, myself, I'm here supporting Phil with this fabulous project.
Right, well, this project already on board. So obviously yourselves with OMD, other bands, the Zootons, Space, Amsterdam.
You missed that was a big name there, The Who.
Well, I was going to leave them until last.
Sorry, okay.
That was going to be the big
You've blown
crescendo.
His big finale. Oh, he doesn't sorry, need sorry. The drum roll now,
That
Phil.
Was the crescendo. never mind. You've never done radio before.
I have done radio.
The Philharmonic, of some musicians involved as well. Others, you've approached Pete Wiley, Cast the Farm. Look, you're trying to get everyone together for a very important cause.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about it, Phil.
Well, I've had my experience of mental health issues, Steve, and I don't mind talking quite openly about it. The aim of the project really is, that's at its essence, it is to get it out there, so-called famous people like me, and Andy's had some experience of problems with friends of his, get it out there, get men especially to talk about it. Men, they tough up, it's all nothing wrong with me, I'll have a drink and a bevy and it'll all go away. It doesn't. It gets worse if you don't confront it head on. So that's what we're doing. The title is obviously a sort of biblical reference, although I'm not, you know, we're not, I'm not evangelical about this. I am committed to it, to the idea of helping people come forward, get the right advice and help and support. And the Samaritans themselves, which is one of the organisations where the money will go to, they do the essential job. They basically stop people from hurting themselves and killing themselves. And the impact, and it was felt by my family when I had my breakdown, two breakdowns, the impact just isn't on yourself. It's on the very people who love and care for you. It ruins their lives. Obviously, a suicide is the most painful thing. I've got friends, one guy I know, won't mention his name, but one guy I know whose dad killed himself when he was 2. This is a bit heavy for a Monday morning, but it's real. You know, I'm the real deal, Steve. 2 breakdowns, and my friends joke I'm on a hat trick. It's not going to happen.
It's out there, and it's happening to a large proportion of men. Why, for yourself, Andy, were you so keen to be involved in this?
As Phil alluded to, I've had personal experience of loving somebody who's had depression and mental illness. And it's, you know, it's a really important but often delicate and skirted around subject. But there's so many people who do suffer. And often, unfortunately, they feel like they need to suffer in silence because they fear being shamed or judged. And I think that's the most important thing that Phil's trying to do with this project, is to shine a light on something that, if it remains in darkness, just multiplies and gets worse. Because a lot of people who have mental health issues, you know, they often say, I wish I had a broken leg. You could see that. You'd understand it. You'd have sympathy for me. But it's hard sometimes. They feel it's hard to be taken seriously, in inverted commas. And it shouldn't be that way. There should be no shame or judgment, because you're genuinely ill, and you need to be able, if you can, to open up, to admit it to yourself, and to, then to find support from other people. That's the most important issue here, that to kindly and gently shed a bit of light onto this subject, to realise that there's a lot of people suffer. There's a lot of people who are affected because they love them, their family and friends. And so it's just taking away any sense of stigma, because there shouldn't be. There should be no shame or judgment. It's a genuine illness, and there is hope and there is support when you're able to go forward with it.
It feels like that taboo is being taken away a little bit. I mean, I don't know what it was like for yourself when you had your particular breakdowns or, you know, the height of your mental health problems, Phil, but it just feels like the conversation is more out there now. Do you get that sense as well?
I think so, yeah. I think it's getting better. But this is a project will hopefully
enhance that.
Enhance it, yeah. And push it forward. Be, you know, getting involved, some of the best known bands, well, one of the best known bands in Britain, The Who, and loads of Liverpool people, loads of Liverpool artists and bands. It will push it forward. It's, you know, and physically, I want to produce an album, a 12-inch album, because I love albums.
You want a vinyl, do you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. My granddaughter got a copy of Adele's latest album, and it's all streaming and this sounds like an old fella, but it's all streaming and CDs and all that. She got the album and looked at it and went, wow.
Yeah.
And on the album, I want to use one of my collages that I've made. You know, I've become pretty well known for the production of collages. Mm. I've done Lennon, I've done one for The Cavern, I've done one for Cream, I've done one for The Farm, Cast, Threshold Festival, Sound City Festival. I get a lad from Croxeth, is reluctant to say this, but it's true. People have said to me, Philip, you're an artist now. Right, you've made art, you've sold it, that's what artists do. But you have that sort of scouse self-deprecation where you don't talk yourself up.
Don't feel shamed for being an artist, Phil.
Okay. No,
you should be proud of this. You've got one of your massive collages in front of me now. It's unbelievable. It's Lennon. Yeah.
People have described it as spectacular. So collages are available, and I am available for private commission. 07491.
Stay on message, Phil. Stay on message.
On point, really. Just a quick one on vinyl. Do you still have that sort of absolute love of touching a vinyl?
Totally.
Record?
And I mean, what's interesting, of course, is, and this is why, you know, just on the way up here, I was talking to Phil about the fact that this project is making a vinyl record. It's actually so big. It's so cool. It's cross-generational now. You know, the young generation are getting decks again because they like the big art. They like the physical reality of a vinyl record. And so I think this is actually a very cool thing to do, to have a vinyl record to support this cause.
Would you release your next OMD album on vinyl? Or is that an option for you guys? We do.
You have to make it available for digital, you make it available for streaming and for CDs, but yeah, vinyl is really important now. 20 years ago, when everybody was, you know, putting it in the coffin and burying it, who thought that? But I think that's why it's wonderful that this project is gonna see something physical that's a manifestation of the support and the care, and that people can buy, and the money goes to supporting, you know, making people still realise that this is an important subject.
So tell me about The Who. So did you ring Roger Daltrey? How did you get the involvement? What happened?
Well, I've known Pete Townsend since 1983. I set up the UK's first community access recording studio. You know, the old blind school on Harden Street? That we were in that building there. And that was, I was very young. I was only 20-odd. And I thought, what can I do to alleviate the impact of mass unemployment? 20% unemployment in Liverpool at that time. And I was in a band and we did benefit gigs for everyone, Merseyside Anti-Apartheid, the Anti-Nazi League, and a lot of other organisations. And so I wrote to Townsend because I know he's a guy who cares about people. He's a good man. And I said, I want to set up a recording studio. He said, come and see me. So I went down to his recording studio, Eel Pie, in Twickenham. You know Eel Pie, it's like that Cockney meal, isn't it? Eel Pie and mash.
Sounds awful, doesn't it?
It's horrible, yeah. And so he welcomed me and said, you want to make things better for people? I'll help you. So we set up a recording studio. It was an 8-track demo facility. And one of the most famous bands that came out of there was The Lars. There She Goes. The first recording of that classic was in that studio. It was taking people away from mass unemployment, the effects of mass unemployment, of heroin. It was prevalent in the 80s, Andy. I'm sure you'll remember it. There was so much consumption of it that it was damaging people's lives. I gave people alternatives, and I still get people in the street, even after the breakdowns. I still get people young, well, they're not young now, but young people who came in as work experience and say, I'm working in the studio because of you, Phil.
It's quite gratifying, isn't it?
It's fantastic. And a guy from Walton came in and wanted to work as a sound engineer, learn about sound and lights. He's now Elvis Costello's assistant tour manager. He's seen more of the world than I have. And I take, in some small way, take I feel good about myself when I think of that. But during the breakdowns, Steve, all that stuff looks clouded. People kept saying to me, Phil, look at the good things you've done. You did one back thing in particular that I could not get over. It was not me. I won't mention the details, but the impact of it was I went into hiding. I split up with my wife. My children were concerned that I might kill myself. And that damage that I'd done to them, I bitterly regret, Steve. But now, right now, in this moment, I'm looking forward with the help of people like Andy. And it's lovely to meet Andy. We've known each other. We've sort of run parallel, I think we discussed. We've had parallel lives. I've included him in compilation videos that I've made to promote Liverpool and the music of from this area. It's now, well, when we met before in Leaf Cafe, bit of a plug there, for Leaf Cafe in Bold Street. I'm trying to get my next exhibition there. Hello, Natalie. Sorry. Shameless.
Stay on point.
Okay. No, but people like, and you, when you put something out there and people come forward immediately, and Andy has, and I'm grateful that it's very kind of Andy. It's nice to know him, and I'm sure we might even beginning of a long-term relationship.
Very nice. How are the songs going to work? What's going to happen? Have you recorded yours already? Have you decided what you're going to choose? Or how?
Phil only came to me the other day, and obviously I've still got to talk to the rest of my band. We are thinking about doing, rather than using up an old track that everybody's already got, or a new one that will be out later in the year, we might do a completely one-off recording of some other famous track by some fairly famous...
No.
Could be the Beatles. I mean, they weren't that big. Who knows the Beatles? I think it would be great to do something like that. Sort of, you know, OMD does a Beatles track for this. It would be quite something, I think.
Or maybe, and something that's about the issue. I don't know if you would want to tackle that.
This is you've got the scoop on this thing. This is early in the whole project, it's still coming together. The basic ideas are forming, but it's such a good cause, and I think, you know, people like myself who've had personal experience. I mean, I've never myself, fortunately, suffered from clinical depression, but I mean, I grew up internalising my problems, but mine always manifested in my skin. I had eczema. I still get psoriasis, which I'm quite happy to talk about. So it's you know, lots of people suffer from different levels of anxiety and depression, and the more you talk about it, the better it is, and we will make this fantastic collection of music and highlight the issues.
And obviously with guys like you and, you know, and top names from across such a spectrum, an entertainment spectrum, it does make it more accessible. It becomes more of a conversation.
It is.
So when would you hope to get this album out? What are you looking at? What's your time frames?
This year.
This year, okay.
This year.
Because it's quite hard to get so many sort of big bands to record.
You know, working with musicians, it's like, and Andy will agree with this, it's like herding cats.
Right.
You know, you're trying to shuffle them into one corner of the room and they all run off at different tangents. No, but we've got a large body of the artists on board. The organising group is, I can't do this on my own. So I've got Dave Piccolinghi from Sound City, Kevin McManus, who sits next to me in the COP. He's got a great new job, but I can't talk about it. He's a music curator. There's also another guy called Chris Meehan, and he's from Centric Music, who are publishers. So he can deal with that aspect of the job. I'm going to, as I say, section jobs off. I mean, it's important to tell you that I'm doing it for the Samaritans, right? Mm. To publicise it. So on the album, you'll have the Samaritan phone number and Calm and other organisations working with people with mental health. The other two organisations, Safe in Bootle, as I mentioned to you earlier, they are an arts organisation that welcomed me in when I was ill. And the Bells, similarly, in Toxteth in Liverpool 8. I want some money to go to them because they are really struggling. I do voluntary work there. And that's where they're at in terms of sustaining the organisation. They've asked me to come in and I do it for nothing. So the Bells in Toxteth, you know, the UK's poorest ward, and they help people with. They provide hot meals for people who are socially excluded on a Tuesday and a Friday. It's probably a bit more detail than you need to know. But they're the three recipients of any financial and publicity benefit for them.
Right, well, I'll tell you what, as the project unfolds, we'll make sure we keep in touch, get you back in, Phil. If people want to find out a little bit more at the moment, is there some way they can sort of get in touch or support or just see what you're up to?
Yeah.
Is that you?
That's not me. I've turned my phone off.
Mr. McCloskey.
No, it's not my phone.
Right, go on, off. Phil. Give a quick plug if people want to know a bit more.
That's a snippet of the new recording we're doing.
Yeah, that's the song.
Well, they can contact me on 07491 983 057. One more thing, Steve. I'd love to mention this. When I, just prior to my breakdown in 2015, Elvis Costello dedicated a Bob Dylan song, Nobel Laureate, no less, to me. It was just prior to my breakdown. It's a brilliant song, and it will be on the album, maybe in three different guises. It's called Down on the Bottom. The only way to go now is up.
What a little honour that is. What an honour. Absolutely superb. Look, Andy, thank you very much indeed for coming in and accompanying Phil this morning. It sounds a brilliant project. As soon as you've got your track laid down, I'd like to know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, Steve, thank you, man, and Radio City for picking up on this.
No problems. As soon as you emailed, I emailed you back. So it sounds great.
Right. You've got access to a lot of people, a lot of listeners. If there are people suffering out there, there is an answer. There is people they can go to and there is help they can get. That's the important message. Above everything, above the fame in the bands, the important message is don't suffer in silence. Go and speak to people, and you can get better. I've had two breakdowns, right? Two.
And you're sat here organising this
now. I'm sat here doing something positive.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.